Welcome to the Aligned Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly Hankins, and I'm a violist as well as a yoga and breathwork facilitator. I created this podcast to empower musicians like you to find your own path towards healing and normalize conversations around musicians' wellness. I'm so grateful for your support and thank you for joining me. Hello and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I am so excited to share this episode with you. So a few weeks ago, I sat down and I had a conversation with Caroline Weeks, who is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and also a violist. We met when we were in grad school together, and it was so nice to catch up and to talk about her experience and get into some of the important reasons why nutrition is so important for everyone, including musicians. This is something that I feel really strongly about because nutrition was a big part of my own healing journey, and I would say it still is. During my time in grad school, there was a period of time where I really wasn't being healthy. I really wasn't taking very good care of myself. And actually, a combination of things, including nutrition, ultimately led to me experiencing really severe abdominal pain one day. And I actually went to the emergency room and come to find out that I had a kidney infection and that I had a kidney stone that had actually ruptured inside of my ureter. And so I was, I had sepsis and I was in the hospital for almost a week. And this experience was really surprising to me, actually, because no one in my family has kidney stones. I've never had a kidney stone before. And after that, I was seeing a urologist and I was eventually able to learn I form oxalate stones. There are different kinds of kidney stones, but the kind that I form actually can be mitigated or prevented through dietary change. And so I started changing my diet on my own and I started feeling a lot better. And actually, I haven't had any issues with kidney stones in quite some time. As a part of that nutritional healing journey, even though I had no more issues with kidney stones after a few years, I started experiencing other issues and come to find out that I had IBS. And so the way that I was able to heal my gut, to feel better, to not have food be such an inflammatory thing was by seeing a registered dietitian. And the registered dietitian that I worked with had me on a very restrictive diet. I was on this low oxalate, low FODMAP diet for a while, and I had to eliminate a lot of foods. And so it was really nice to have the support of a registered dietitian who could help me make sure that I felt nourished, that even though I was eating this restricted diet, that I wasn't missing out on any nutrients that my body needed. And so it was so hard because, oh my gosh, I love foods like garlic and bread and chocolate and coffee. And I had to cut so many things out of my diet like that. After working with a registered dietitian and really familiarizing myself with low FODMAP and low oxalate foods, over time, through the support of a dietitian, gently adding small amounts of foods back into my diet, testing things out, seeing what things didn't work with my body so well. And now it's, I think, 3 years later, and I have been able to reintroduce everything back into my diet pretty much. I no longer have any real issues with IBS outside of occasional flare-ups, and I've been able to incorporate foods that I never thought I'd be able to eat again. So if you have any health issues and you're interested in seeing if nutrition can be a way to improve your health and get better, I would say absolutely see a registered dietitian, because foods that you would never expect to be inflammatory can be, and everybody is different. But even outside of the specific issues I was having, just being able to feel like I had more energy on a daily basis, like I was able to focus better, like I can show up as the best version of myself. As someone who has a hard time feeling well rested on a daily basis, perhaps partially due to being hypermobile, but also because I have a neurological sleep disorder that doesn't allow me to feel well rested all the time, even though I'm getting all of the hours of sleep. Just being able to feel more awake and refreshed and fully present was such a game changer for me. So I highly recommend seeing a registered dietitian if you feel that you'd like to experiment with nutrition and see if that's something that can really help support you and from a holistic perspective. As you may already know, I also love Ayurveda. I love plant-based diets. I was raised vegetarian. I am no longer vegetarian, but I do love incorporating lots of vegetables into what I eat. But that was actually part of what was aggravating my kidney stones, because plants like spinach and beets and potatoes and sweet potatoes and almonds contain high levels of oxalate and were actually making it more challenging for my body. And not everyone needs to avoid these foods at all. Just as someone whose body is prone to forming oxalate stones, it's a good idea for me to either avoid these foods or make sure that I'm getting enough calcium when I eat these foods or eating a small amount of dairy. It's so complicated. And so I just wanted to share that nutrition really is so individualized, and it's so important to maybe try different things and also to see someone who's knowledgeable and knows what foods to kind of watch out for. In this episode, Caroline also shares a lot about her thoughts and feelings regarding her time in music school. I think that there's a broader perspective here, a commonality that a lot of music students share, whether they're at a conservatory or a state school. I think it's so funny that we both found the importance of wellness at the same school. Caroline found nutrition classes that excited her and made her want to explore that passion further. And it was at IU that I took a postural alignment for musicians class and did a Stop Pilates certification as one of my electives. And it really inspired me and made me want to learn all about functional anatomy and kinesiology. And so this is the beauty of going to a state school, is that you're not just taking music classes like at a conservatory, but you do have some freedom in the other areas that you can explore. And so I really encourage you, if you are someone listening to this that is at a school where you have the ability to take non-music classes, I think it is so incredible. If you have that opportunity, take a anatomy class, take a physiology class, take a nutrition class. And if there is ever an injury prevention class for musicians, just instantly sign up for it, because wow, these resources are not available to everyone, but I know that they made such a positive impact in my own life, just having those options to choose from. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast today. And definitely let us know if you have any questions or if there's anything that you found helpful today. Thank you so much for being here, Caroline. It is such a pleasure to have you here. To those who don't know, we went to school together many years ago, and it's so great to see you again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here too. And I think we'll get into, I'm already seeing questions roll in that kind of have to do with my niche on my own page. So just to clarify, we're going to be talking about all things music tonight, and I'm really excited. So bear with me. I'll be able to answer other questions some other time. But like Kim said, we were in the same viola studio together. I just think it's so amazing what you've gone on to do with your career, and you are helping so many musicians really open their eyes to wellness, which I think is so important and something I want to talk to you about tonight, because something I truly lacked when I was in school.
Oh, and I felt the exact same way. And it was a thing that I hadn't even considered, because I was just so focused on sounding as best as I could so that I could get into the next stage of career. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in school, it really does feel like there's a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of factors that go into being a professional musician. And I just wanted to give you a moment here to let you introduce yourself a little bit. I know that you're a violist, like myself. Also, you're a registered dietitian nutritionist.
Yes. A random mashup of things, right? There is a backstory to that. Long story short, because it is a long saga, I started out, like probably most of your followers, loving music. Music consumed my entire life. It's what I dedicated my early years to, you know, since I was a late starter. I started in elementary school. So I wasn't one of those kids that, like, right out of the womb was given the stringed instrument. So I was one of those kids. But became very serious from the beginning, and played in symphony orchestras when I was in high school, and played chamber music, you know, was playing at a high level kind of throughout, and then went to the Indiana's Jacobs School of Music for my undergraduate degree, and studied music performance there. I quickly kind of began to realize that the conservatory life wasn't for me, which is the title of this podcast, for a number of reasons. I'm not a quitter, I always say. So I did finish my music degree, but I transferred schools back to my home state of Iowa, and separate degree tracks in tandem. So I completed a Bachelor of Arts in Music, as well as a Bachelor of Science in Dietetics. And for those of you who don't know about the registered dietitian career path, dietitians are the nutrition experts in the medical field. So we give what's called medical nutrition therapy, and can work with a variety of patients, people in the community. We're seen in the media, we're seen in government areas, we're seen all over in hospitals, clinics, etc. And I've actually found that I've been able to really tie my nutritional knowledge in with musicians and helping them kind of later in my career virtually. But went on to study nutrition sciences, medical nutrition therapy, did a little internship. They call it kind of like a medical residency, would be the closest thing to it for nutrition professionals, and then got certified as a dietitian and then practiced. So most recently, I've worked at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, in the area of pediatrics. And if you go to my page, you'll see all of my niches, infant nutrition and teaching new parents how to optimally feed their kids. But I've worked with people all throughout the lifespan. And I guess my most recent development is actually tomorrow I start physician assistant school. So totally new challenge that I'm taking on. You can kind of just, that's, I guess it wasn't a nutshell, but that's my story in as tiny of a box as I can stuff it all in, because it's been quite the journey, if you will.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I love how you've been able to cultivate this life for yourself in the wellness field, in the nutrition space, and also find a way to still continue with viola. I know you had mentioned that you also still play in orchestras. I mean, pre-COVID, of course, and that you still play to some extent.
Yes, definitely. Pre-COVID, was subbing here and there for the Des Moines Symphony Orchestra, and have continued to take on gigs here and there, and I've taught lessons privately in the past. So definitely have clung to my musical roots. I always say now, kind of getting out of the musical world 100%, I'm able to be the music appreciator that I always wanted to be, right? I think you can probably relate, like anytime we listen to a piece of classical music, we're always trying to analyze the chord structure, or we're like, oh, that didn't quite sound the way it was supposed to. So, you know, it's been really a breath of fresh air to be able to take a step back and not have that be my full life and more of a side passion, if you will. And I'm not saying that that's what everybody should do here. I know most of your followers are really dedicated, serious musicians. So this is obviously just one person's story, but I'm hoping some of the themes perhaps might resonate with people regardless of where they are in their journey or in their career path. I hope you can kind of take away some of those things or reflect upon some of the similarities that we've faced. And as I mentioned, you know, there's so many important things that relate to nutrition and music performance because we are athletes of the small muscles for sure. And nutrition was just something I had no concept or knowledge around. But yeah, and then, you know, musicians are people too. So we all face different chronic illnesses and things like that that we have to manage. And so, yeah, have been able to go on and help people in that way. So,
yeah, I think that that's amazing. And I love that you've been able to find this balance for yourself between nutrition and music, and that works for you. And yes. I was actually talking with one of my viola students recently, who's been struggling with this idea of like, do I get a performance degree? Do I not? And my personal view on it is that I think that music can be something so personal to us. And it's the way that music fulfills us is so personal that I just feel like I am not the person to tell anyone else what they should or shouldn't do with their career. But I just feel like music is such a profound medium of art and emotion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I obviously love it. And I feel very fulfilled in the way that I've been able to cultivate a music mm-hmm. career for myself. But like, there's people like you and like, I know my sister who plays in a community orchestra, and you know, it's just so fulfilling to be able to play music with people and have that experience in whatever way works for you.
Definitely.
So I think it's amazing. And so why or how did you stumble upon nutrition?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, in the music conservatory, you take nothing but music classes, right? You're playing 8+ hours a day in your orchestras, your operas, your private, you know, work, your quartet work, etc. And you're studying music theory and composition and history and all of those things. I was never a pianist, so I had to take like basic piano lab when I went to IU. Oh, that was the death of me. And so, you know, it's just a lot of time really engaging in your craft, right? And I think I want us to realize that that's a source for burnout.
Indiana is at this weird juncture point between being like a state school and a conservatory, because
so true.
I would say that, you know, Indiana's unique in that it is a very rigorous, demanding program. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is a state school and it does, you know, you don't have to just take these music theory and music history, but you also have to take like a science class and an English class, just like every other yes. state school. And in some ways, I think that does make it maybe more challenging in some ways, maybe less challenging in others. I don't know, mm-hmm. but
and it's funny you say that.
Kind of person you are.
Right. It's funny you say that, because the one science class that I did have to take, I chose what I thought was going to be the easiest one because I was feeling so overwhelmed with my musical studies. But I chose a nutrition class, actually. So started learning about that in just a basic nutrition 101, like metabolism 101 or something. I was really fascinated by it. And in the background, you know, with all this stress boiling in the music school, I faced repetitive stress injuries. So I was always dealing with a lot of neck pain, and I was never diagnosed with like a carpal tunnel syndrome, but definitely was experiencing pain in my wrist, especially on opera week when we were practicing so much, and was really trying to gear up for studio recitals or what have you. And so I saw a lot of sort of unhealthy lifestyles being led around me amongst my peers there. And it kind of scared me. And I was, again, young, naive, impressionable. And I didn't have an outlet, I guess. So I discovered fitness and wellness as that outlet. So started going to the gym, learned how to lift weights with help of friends, and really just that sort of took off. And then the more I got serious in that, the more I felt that that was giving giving back to me, right? It gave me energy, changed my body composition, whatever. It gave me endorphins, made me feel happy, gave me that resilience. I thought maybe there's something to this. And I went on to explore the career path of a registered dietitian more. And long story short, transferred back to my home state school and finished my degree in music there and started the new degree. Got a job at a hospital and just realized how much I loved the hospital environment and really found that a lot of those skills that we gain as musicians, you know, that performance confidence, that poise under pressure, if you will, I think is a skill that we all have as musicians that helped me in the area of nutrition and now medicine. And I think there's a lot of transferable skills we can pull upon. Just that diligence of being able to practice something, seeing something from start to finish, being able to dedicate long hours to one subject, right? So many of my doctor friends now were actually once musicians or studied in conservatories or music schools. So I think it's a common thread.
It's funny too, how many people in the medical field actually have a background in music. Musicians really have this attention to detail, and that's so important in the field that you're in. Absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely. It's life or death in many cases with when it comes to, you know, making the right prescription or getting a thorough assessment or something like that of a patient. So that's, again, the story of how I discovered this other path. And again, I think it just kind of goes to show for those of your followers who are younger and who are trying to determine the career path for them. You know, it's really hard for you to be expected to know what to do with the rest of your life, quote unquote. And I had to do a lot of soul searching throughout my career to know what I really wanted to pursue. And it was just better for me personally to kind of keep music on the sidelines, if you will. I'm one that kind of thrives on that feeling of stability. I was never wanting to be the gigging musician, you know, that I have so much respect for people who do that and are successful with that. But that just wasn't for me. So And I think, you know, it's a testament to you, especially during the time of COVID, that you've been able to thrive and be successful. I really love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Caroline. Yeah, I know it's a challenging time to be a musician for sure.
It is.
I mean, I totally agree with you that nutrition matters. And I've actually shied away from this topic a lot on my podcast, because I personally feel that being a registered dietitian is something totally different, and you have a very important role in the medical community versus someone who's maybe a nutritionist, or please correct me if I'm wrong, or
yes,
someone who's like a nutrition coach. And these are very, yes, very different things. And so I just feel like you have this really foundational medical background in nutrition. And so I would
Thank
love to
you.
Talk
yes.
a little bit more about that. And
about the differences. It's funny you bring that up. Yeah, my credentialing body, accrediting body, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics recently allowed us professionals to choose the credentials RDN, Registered Dietitian Nutritionist, to kind of encompass that nutritionist aspect. Because truly, your run-of-the-mill nutritionist does not have the same background education that a registered dietitian does. They cannot diagnose medical nutrition related disorders. They can't provide medical nutrition therapy legally, although many people kind of don't follow that practice, especially online. It's the wild, wild west on the internet. But you know, with my degree, I had to take countless hours of biochemistry, microbiology, organic chemistry, hard sciences. So really, truly understand the biological pathways and things that go into nutrition and how our body metabolizes nutrients, and also kind of look at food systems. We've got such a varied knowledge base. And that's also part of that quote unquote residency or internship that we go on to do. It's supervised clinical hours, usually more than 1,000 hours of supervised clinical practice, where we're again working with patients with a variety of disorders, and then have to obviously pass boards and our exam to obtain the credential. So we have 4-year degree and then some that we go on to fulfill, versus a nutritionist, you can just kind of call yourself that without getting any formal training or education at all. So it's important to make that differentiation. And for those of you listening something, if you do find yourself managing a chronic illness or have questions related to weight management or performance, you know, maybe you're athletes too, definitely encourage you to seek the guidance and counsel of a registered dietitian, because they're the ones that will point you in the right direction and give you the credible evidence-based research and knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a period of time where I was dealing with a lot of health issues, and I ended up seeing a registered dietitian for a while, and they had me on like a prescribed diet for a while, and just like having that guidance and support to make sure I was getting all of the nutrients I needed, that I wasn't starving myself, that I wasn't missing out on any or being deficient in any vitamins or minerals.
So true.
Like, I feel that is so important and also so overlooked, that
definitely
need that support.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
I'm glad you had a good experience with your dietitian. That makes me really encouraged and happy. And, you know, I want to encourage the audience listening that we're a part of the interdisciplinary medical team. So we work hand in hand with physicians. Your doctors that you seek medical treatment and care from don't have the same nutritional background that dietitians do. And so they look to us as we look to them for, say, medication prescriptions, et cetera. We work together to treat the patient holistically. And that's really the beauty of our medical system and how we do work as a team, or at least ideally we should work as a team. And it's interesting that you bring up, Kim, you know, vitamin deficiencies and things, because you're right, it's so overlooked. It's something I find physicians won't usually bring up at, say, a yearly physical or something like that. A lot of people realize they're deficient based on their own research that they've done, or they kind of self-diagnose, unfortunately. Or if they see a dietitian that then kind of puts it into their mind after taking an assessment of their diet, and they can see the gaps and cracks of what might be missing. That's really what we do. But I think it's important for musicians to realize, you know, many of you are, especially if you're in school, you're in a practice room for like 8 hours a day. You're not getting any sunlight exposure. You're probably vitamin D deficient if you live in above the equator. So something to keep in mind. And I think another thing too, and something I wish I had known when I was studying music, is just the importance of fueling your body, not skipping meals, really having this steady kind of flow of energy. It just makes or breaks not only your energy to practice and devote to your craft, but also affects, there's something we call the gut-brain connection. And, you know, there's been a lot of research that goes into showing, you know, the foods that we eat and the amounts that we eat and the quality of food that we eat can either make or break someone's anxiety. And so I think anxiety is a key concept for musicians, at least some of us. I know I struggled with what was an undiagnosed anxiety disorder at the time when I was in music school. I had debilitating performance anxiety. I didn't show it, but I just, you know, my bow was shaking. I felt like, you know, when I was getting ready for just a basic studio performance or something, like with friendly peers. And obviously it got better with practice and time, but I skipped meals when I was training and practicing. And it was something that I just overlooked entirely. And had, if I had the chance to go back and do it all over, I would do things very differently.
You touched on something really interesting, which is like having a shaky bow. And
yes,
I know from like a nervous system perspective, it's like, you know, when you're feeling anxious or nervous or whatever, or just like more activated in your nervous system, there's adrenaline that's released to help you be able to survive, essentially.
It's good, but in many ways. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, adrenaline is a magical thing. Especially
so true.
Like, you being a fitness person also, just, I don't know if you've ever had this experience of leading someone in fitness, but I know for me, when I'm leading someone in a fitness space, I can suddenly do push-ups. I can suddenly do all the chaturanga.
Yes,
but if all I'm the chaturanga. By myself at home, I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this so hard?
Yep. It's why I have to do like a group fitness class if I really want to get work done, because doing it at home, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Oh, I need to exercise more. But with adrenaline, I've heard before that there's a connection between adrenaline and blood sugar levels. Is that true?
That's a good question. I'll have to look into that. That's a new one for me, actually. Oh, okay. Kim. Adrenaline and blood sugars. That is a really, really good thought. But I wouldn't be surprised because our stress and our cortisol affects our blood sugar levels, obviously. And so that obviously adrenaline can kind of fluctuate our stress levels as well. So that would make entire physiological sense to me.
Interesting. And I was also wondering too, I think a lot of us, when we're practicing long hours and we have lots of rehearsals to go to and lessons and everything, we end up turning to coffee instead of water and drinking all the caffeine trying to get back in the practice room. So, and I know that being dehydrated can have a serious impact on the way that our muscles function and our tendons. And so are there any other like reasons why we should stay hydrated, or maybe other nutritional aspects that are important just for avoiding repetitive stress injury?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to look at the whole body when we're talking about prevention of stress injuries. And I'm, you know, not a physical therapist by any means, so I want to speak to my scope. But hydration is so, so key. And it's been slightly debunked that we get dehydrated, quote unquote, from caffeine intake, like coffee, for example. It is hydrating your body somewhat, but not as optimally as, say, water, or water with maybe an electrolyte supplement. So, you know, those noon tablets weren't around when I was going to music school. I wish they were. There's so many products and, you know, in industry that have been invented since we were in school. So keeping that in mind, you know, always keeping a water bottle with you is important just for brain function too, right? To make sure that our mind is sharp and we're not fatigued. I think the biggest connection between dehydration and performance would just be that sheer element of fatigue and lack of focus. But I think in terms of, you know, nutrition for performance, the biggest thing, and it sounds simple, is just having structured meals and snacks and fueling the body appropriately, which they're, you know, in turn will allow your body to have all the essential vitamins and minerals. You really don't need a multivitamin if you're eating a well-balanced diet. So that's something to keep in mind. I know I'm the type of person, and I really need, now that I'm going back to graduate school, I need to remember this about myself. When I'm really focused on something, I will forget to eat, I'll forget to drink, I'll forget to do anything. I get so hyper tunnel visioned, hyper focused. And if anybody, you know, is like that, throw your hands up in the comments, because I think I'm not alone in that. Yes, but Kim's throwing her hands up right now. So that's something to keep in mind as it relates to our blood sugars, right? The case of being hangry, you know, is not going to bode well for a musical performance. Be thinking of yourself truly as an athlete. Athletes fuel before and after, and really prioritize their nutrition throughout the day. So that's the biggest thing that I would encourage people to do. But I could talk for hours just on details of specifics as it relates to the individual and their nutrition, because we're all different, right? We all have different needs, et cetera. Especially as it relates to micronutrients.
Something that has been really popular lately that I've been hearing about has been intermittent fasting. And I think, just like you said, different things work for different people. But I just remember when I was in school, there were some fellow students that believed that they played better when they intentionally didn't eat a certain amount of time before they played. And I was just wondering if there's any truth to that, or maybe there's a way that we can structure our meals to like help us be able to work with our bodies as we perform or as we play. What are your thoughts on that?
That's such an interesting concept and thought. I don't feel like I'm an expert in intermittent fasting by any means, so I don't know if I could speak to that directly. You know, there have been so many studies, not large studies, so it's impossible to really kind of glean any sort of definitive information. Like, yes, this is a true phenomenon, just because the N size of all these studies have either been too small or whatever has not led us to believe that intermittent fasting is the way, quote unquote, that we should be eating. So, and I'm not one to prescribe any sort of fad diet or anything like that. I'm very much against that and truly believe in eating all foods in balance and moderation and things of that nature. But there have been, you know, studies that have tried to assess, does the brain work, or brain wavelengths working, you know, at a faster rate, whatever. I'm not trying to get into the neuroscience of it when our body's running on ketones and, you know, not getting that fuel, et cetera. But I want to kind of clear the noise and the myth. Perhaps that one person anecdotally felt better, but keep in mind that our brain's preferred fuel source are carbohydrates. And our brain uses carbohydrates as energy, as the preferred source always. So having a balance between carbohydrates and a protein or fat source to kind of sustain the release and the digestion of that. Eating breakfast, I'm a fan of it. I think it just helps me, and I truly believe it helps the majority of people feel better. But everybody has different lifestyles, right? Maybe that musician is staying up really late and is eating late at night. And so then, you know, he started his days somewhat lopsided. So it's impossible to know when you're just looking at one person. But, you know, a lot of the success that I think has come from intermittent fasting, at least in the media, people are losing weight from it. But I want to remind people that it's because you are just in a caloric deficit, and that's what's promoting that weight loss, not because you've shifted your day or anything of that nature. You're just eating less than you were previously. But I think, you know, yes, it's important to look at your schedule and finding a great schedule that works with your lifestyle. You know, are you an early bird? Are you a night owl? How can you ensure that you're having snacks? Or if you're not a snack person, maybe you're just a 3-meal-a-day person. There's no rhyme or reason. As long as you're fueling your body with the adequate amount of calories to sustain, you know, your bodily functions, that's really all that matters. So I'm not an intermittent IF expert. There are other dietitians who have looked more into that, but I just say eat what makes you feel good and eat the foods that you love and make sure you're getting your fruits and vegetables in a good balance, and to oversimplify things. But I'm an omnivore for sure, and I'm not a slave to the clock when it comes to when I eat. I eat when I'm hungry, so I'm very much an intuitive eater, and that's what works for me.
I love that. That's amazing. Is there anything that when you first started learning nutrition, or maybe as you went into becoming a registered dietitian, that you wish you knew when you were in music school?
Wow, that's a good question. Yeah, there's so many things that I wish I knew. And I think a lot of them you would relate to because they would tie into your yoga practice and, you know, the culture of yoga, but balance is the biggest kind of theme. I had no balance when I was in music school, or I thought I did, but in retrospect, I really didn't. And then, you know, really mindfulness and focusing on the present. One thing that I just felt like I didn't get enough support in was how to work smarter, not harder. When it came to music, I found myself just hashing out passages, hashing out, like just killing myself over things and not really seeing any progress. I didn't really take enough of an analytic approach to what I was doing with my music. I needed to spend more time kind of in my head with the music than actually physically exhausting myself, because that's really what gave me all those repetitive stress injuries and really what fueled the fire of my stress. So I think, you know, just being mindful and going slow and realizing that progress really isn't meant to happen overnight either. I think sometimes we as musicians have this inflated expectation of how fast we're supposed to progress, or, you know, a passage should be picture perfect overnight, the next day or the next week for your teacher. At least that's kind of how I thought at the ripe age of, you know, 19 or 20 when I was going to school. So I think all of those things are things that my wiser self now, looking back, would have encouraged me to do. And like I said, I think if I were approaching music school now at a different age, it would be different. But at the time, it just wasn't the right fit for me. So that's my story.
Oh my gosh, I relate to that so much because, mm-hmm. you know, just like you had mentioned earlier, how you were kind of a late starter to viola or to yes. music. I mean, I started playing violin when I was in elementary school, and I actually didn't start playing viola until my senior year of high school. And so I always felt like I was behind, and I always felt like, oh my gosh, I have to really practice a lot to catch up. And there was yes. there's very much this internal awareness of that went on throughout my grad school. And I think is still a part of me. I think some part mm-hmm. of me on a subconscious level is like, oh my gosh, you're still not working hard enough. And whether or not that's actually true. And I know that definitely tied into my anxiety levels. I had a pretty athletic background actually coming into the music world. I had done dance a lot when I was younger, and going into music, it's like some of us just kind of like have the genetics to be able to play the long hours and not eat good food and just kind of put in the time and be able to do that, but not everyone is built that way. And so I think, I love what you said about it being just kind of like holistic, that we need to pay attention to every aspect of our wellness and listen to ourselves and develop this sense of mindfulness.
And I think one thing, you know, in the modern day, everyone is really niching down and embracing their expertise, you know, their area of expertise, right? And so I just find that the world is becoming so hyper-focused in that way. Like, you know, we're so busy now that we don't take the time to try to teach ourselves these things anymore, right? So we'll just hire out, or, you know, we'll hire an expert. And I know that can be expensive sometimes, but I truly want to share with people, you know, if you are experiencing an injury like I did, go see a physical therapist that's well-versed in working with musicians, or talk to your doctor about it. Or if you are, you know, managing binge eating disorder or anxiety related to food, seek counsel from a registered dietitian, because these are your individual experts that can help you through these challenges. You focus, allow yourself the bandwidth to focus on your music, since that is your area, your area of expertise, and then allow other people to help you with the rest. Don't feel like you have to take on the burden of all of this on your own. That's something I felt like I had to do when I was in school. I was reading books on repetitive stress injuries, and really not evidence-based books either, not the best resources. Could have saved myself just so many hours of time wasted had I gone directly to the experts in these areas. So hopefully if anybody's listening and experiencing that they can take that to heart.
Such great advice. And Caroline, is there anything else that you'd like to share today?
Yeah, I think I just wanted to come on to share my unique path within music. It's a alternative one. It's different from most. And when I was making the decision to break away from music full time, it was quite literally the scariest thing I've ever done, because my whole identity was wrapped up into being a musician. It's something I had dedicated hours of time. It's really what my community, my peers saw me as, right? So to be able to do something entirely different was really, really scary, but I have zero regrets, and it's truly the best decision I've ever made for myself. So if someone's listening that is pursuing music full time, but they have this kind of gut feeling that, you know, maybe there's another passion of mine that I would be happier doing, it's okay. Especially if you're like me, where you know, your parents know you as the musician, the musical prodigy of your town or whatever, it's okay to break off. I think, I don't know what the statistic is, but nowadays people go through at least 3 different careers mostly. So I'm already going on my 3rd career right now here starting this week. So at least the journey to it. So it's possible, and you can do a lot if you just set your mind to it and have the courage to do it.
I love that so much, Caroline. Thank you so much for joining me here. This has been such a pleasure to chat with you. And I'm just so grateful for you taking the time to be on this podcast. I know you're super busy with starting school. And also, you have such a huge following here on Instagram at the Clinic Dietitian. And
yeah,
I really admire your work. And so thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, like I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, my Instagram at the Clinic Dietitian, I focus on actually infant and toddler nutrition, since I've worked in pediatrics for the entirety of my nutrition career, outside of kind of fun side hustle things that I do virtually. So for anyone who's listening who is a parent and are, you know, you're at that stage of if you've got a mouth to feed and you're not sure what the best way to do it is, head over to my page. I think you'll find a lot of good educational resources there for you. And you can also look at my website, theclinicdietitian.com. So thank you so much, Kim, for having me. And it's been such a pleasure to remain in contact and in touch with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, give us a rating, and follow on Instagram @thealignedmusician. Thank you so much and take care.